Our religion is not a thing. Our religion is a service for all people. The oneness of God's law running throughout the whole creation. And The material world has its wonder. But out of this material world come individual facets, individual beings that God designed himself. And this human being has been given his description by his creator. Not the world. The world influenced this distinction. There's something wrong with the mic, and it's going up, down. The world influences this distinction. God has given us this distinction. The world can influence this distinction so that it becomes impure, so that it becomes weak, so that it becomes crippled, lamed, missing in some of its parts. Okay? So our struggle as human beings is to maintain this distinction as God created it. Keep this distinction whole, not broken up. Keep it whole as God created it. And keep it in the purity that God gave it. In the nature that God gave it. This is a test for the human being. Why do we call on God? We call on God because our distinction is threatened. Our distinction is threatened. As long as we are distinctive in what God distinctly, what God created us, we are at peace. We are at peace. We enjoy peace. But the moment we begin to be threatened in that particular nature, the distinction that God has given us, the peace is broken. And we cry out to God, God help me. Maybe I need something that is being taken away from me. That distinction is losing something. Or maybe something is coming into that distinction that shouldn't be there. An impurity, a corruption.
No fear, no grief.
I bear witness
that faith in Allah takes away fear and takes away grief. And let me tell you something. You can only go over so far this world fearing this world. If you fear this world, you can only go so far. But if you fear Allah, there is no limit to how far you can go. See? Now, I'm not inviting you to become nuts now. Oh, don't fear anything. Then we fear, but the fear of Allah is always superior to all other fear. Allah is the fear that dominates our whole life. I might hear a gunshot. The gunshot might cause me to fear. But if Allah, if the fear of Allah dominates my life, that fear will be temporary, just fleeting. The immediacy of God comes to my mind and takes the fear away. Yes. So I'm not saying you shouldn't fear anything. You have respect. Our fear is a respect for the things in the world. There are things that are that tenfold the real threat to our lives, to our security, to our happiness. So we do have a human fear of those things. But our fear of Allah is the real fear. So Allah is what comforts us, what gives us security, even though we are at times frightened by certain things. But turn to Allah and He gives us security. So we are not overcome by fear, except the fear of Allah. We are not subdued by any fear, only the fear of Allah. Some people are subdued by the fear of the world. They are subdued by the fear of the world. They fear losing their wife, and their wife subdued them. The wife will fear losing the husband. The husband subdues the wife. Are we fear losing our little confidence gain, maturity? And the love for that, the greed for that, subdues us. We become slaves, subject, slaves, subdued by the fear of the world. This is the problem for the human being. The problem is finding God. Oh, that's it. Is that simple? But in man, certainly it is. It's just that simple. This is the call that great prophets and good people have made to human beings for thousands of years. Everything in known history, our religious history, they have been called us to give yourself completely to Allah. Give yourself completely to God. That faith. Many of us are struggling. We want this. We want this career. We want this home. We want this bank account. We want this woman. We want that man. We want this role in society. We want that role in society. We're struggling for these things. These are the many paths of selfishness, the many paths of destruction. God's path is one thing. And what is it? The path of obedience to His will. God has to want to be in obedience to His will. To want to please Him with your whole being. What does the Quran tell us of Prophet Abraham? Abraham gave his whole self to God. He didn't withhold anything from Allah. He gave himself completely to Allah. And for that, Allah made him leader of the nation. Called father of many nations. Only mean father in that sense, only mean leader. But he is leader of many nations. He became the leader of the nation. Why? Because he has the ability, the submissive quality about him, and the love for God that enabled him to give a complete gift. You know, some of us do that with each other too. We can't give a complete gift. We come out with a gift, business brother. If we do something in there that we like for ourselves, we either take that out and give it to the brother, or we keep the whole gift back until we can find something that we can give, brother, that we can don't want ourselves, or that we can separate from. You know? Look at Prophet Abraham, peace be upon him. the beautiful symbolic, beautiful picture that is given to us of Abraham's complete faith in Almighty God. Whatever God wanted, he did it. He felt God wanted his own son. He was prepared to give his own son. Same with son. He was prepared to give that son. He wanted that son. He didn't want to lose his son. He wanted that son with him to stay with him. But he was prepared, if he had to, he was prepared to slaughter that son if he thought that that would please God. And the scriptures tell us that he thought that that would please God. And when he came to actually, the act of actually slaughtering the son, then God showed him that really it was only a test. And that you have fulfilled all God asked of you. And that is just to be willing to sacrifice your all if God asked it. How many of us have the faith of Abraham? The Muslim faith is the faith of Abraham. We're told that by Allah in the Quran, that this is the millah of Ibrahim Hanifa. This is the faith, the way of Abraham, the upright one. True in faith, the truth in faith. But Muhammad came and he established that faith. He established it as a society, as a government. He established that faith that Almighty God had inspired in Abraham. It was inspired in Abraham, it was established in Prophet Muhammad. This is what we need. You want a government. You want black power. You want to look like an Arab in New York. You want Arab identity in New York for African Americans. Yeah. This is what you want. That's not what Allah wants. And if that's what you want, you'll never get it because it's not what Allah wants. Allah wants the identity for you that He gave you. He didn't make you African American or Arab. In fact, He didn't make you Arab now. He made us all human beings. And we make ourselves Arab, Nigerian, Chinese, and these names. Allah made us human beings. And our geographic locations give us our national distinction. Natural distinction. Allah never asked all of us to come from all over the world and be Arab. One brother, he left to go to Egypt, to school, to Cairo, to Azad University in Egypt. He left and he stayed there for a few years, and he became an Egyptian. And who paid his way to go over there? African American. Who sent him to school? African American. Yes. He was supposed to come back and invest in the African American community. If he got knowledge, he was supposed to come back and invest that knowledge in African American communities. To repay, give something back to those who gave you. But he became an Egyptian. He doesn't know his way back home. He tried to talk like an Egyptian, look like an Egyptian, and became an Egyptian. What a pity. What a pity. That's cosmetic identity. That's all it is. Cosmetic identity. We don't want any cosmetic identity. We want the identity Allah gave us. You have to know your human distinctiveness. What distinguishes you as a human being from things that are not human beings. I don't need to know that you're different from that pole or tree or dog or cat. No. You should know that there's a post among you. There's a post among you. There's a rock among you. There's some garbage among you. There's a dog among you. A snake among you. There's a rat among you. There's some rabbits, some deer, and some chickens among you. You see? And if you're not careful, you'll become one of them. The light of Almighty God keeps the light shining on what you are, what he made you from the beginning. He revealed to us what he made us from the beginning, and he wants us to keep to that form and grow in that form and not take on the forms of things that he did not make us. Listen to acknowledging me. Can any of these people that's leading you in these small paths, can they get the respect that your imam gets? They can never get it. Because the judgment of the society, taken collectively, is also a sign of the judgment of God. You can fool some of the people some of the time, but not all the people all the time. How honest a person was, but that's an honest statement. I think it was honest Abe that made that statement. We've been starving all over, looking for that magic knowledge. Let me go to India again, to China, North Africa, Timbuktu. Let me go on Hastings Street. 1930, 294. This short nation, looking for that magic knowledge. Let me go to the message to the black man, how he can live, looking for that special knowledge. And a whole lot of them get in the Bible and they never come back. Looking for that magic, man, that magic knowledge. I know it can be found. Allah is the finder. You're looking for the magic knowledge? Allah is the finder. How can you find anything without Allah's help? Aren't we told in the Islam that Allah is the finder? Yes. If I say I found something, reject me. I found it. Reject it. I found it. The name, the divine name of Allah is El Wajid, the finder. He is the finder. I pity the members of our community who sit around and watch me, but actually they're not with me, but they are like primitive, backwoods people that don't believe in the reality. They only are attracted to the mystery. And they see a mystery in me because they don't have the knowledge to understand it. And they think if they hang around, maybe the mystery will fall out. They did it. I got it now. That's not the way it happens. It begins with purity of intention. Have no selfish, bad intentions. Make your intentions right, honorable, clean. Straightforward. Purify your intentions. Ask Allah to help make your intentions pure. And then Allah will help you. But as long as you have false intentions, you're wearing a Sudanese suit, but really you're a Harlem Street fixer. So you would be better off if you just dissolve and conform to the mentality and the spirit of the Holocene professor. We'll make more progress. At least all of your energies will be concentrated in concerted effort without way of direction. So when you try to see one thing and another one at the same time, you're pulled apart. We're going that way and that way at the same time. Oh, that can't happen. Identity is the key. Did he know what he was made? Was any of us around to see what we were made? When we come into the world, we already made it. We come from beings already made. And we come here made. No one was here to see how they were made. And the knowledge to even identify ourselves. And the knowledge we get to properly identify ourselves is that knowledge that God has revealed. And what does God say about our identity? He says that he freed us from sin. Freed you from sin. What does that mean? It means something. As you know, is like putty. Putty. Like silly putty. What is it? Silly putty? Yeah, silly putty. They call it silly putty because everybody that's like clay in this society is called a fool. And you're supposed to be like clay. You see? If you like clay, if you are open to be influenced, they say you are nuts. That's silly. It's stupid. But if God made human beings to be open to influence, to invite influence into his life. Some of us don't want to be influenced. We got our own mind. We got our own way of thinking. And we don't want any. There's another Dutch. We don't want anything influencing our way of thinking. You see? Nobody can tell us anything. Nobody can show us anything. But we're always looking and listening. We don't trust anybody else. We want to get it and fix it up ourselves, you know. God made the human beings like slaves, meaning that he made the human beings to be open to influence. Open to influence. If you close yourself up, don't accept any knowledge from anybody else, don't accept that anybody influenced your disposition, your attitude, your thinking, that's finished again. No more growth for that kind of person. That's all. Precious thing is here before you die. Don't you see it already? You will find, at this time in American history, when really this society is gone nuts. Very few people have any original sense anymore. But even at a time like this, you will find more good influence coming from individuals than you find bad influence. Just mix it. I don't go to your particular location now. That's where nobody hang out with you. Everybody that's there, the same person. Don't go there. You want to meet other people, you got to go in that one spot. But if you meet people in the general society, or community of New York, you will find that more of them will make good contributions to your thinking than bad contributions to your thinking. More of them, if they find that you're sincere, and you're innocent, you're sincere, more of them will give good advice than give bad advice. And you will find out there in society, in this terrible society, you will find better judgment in the many people than you ever can possibly come up with by yourself. You see, it's best for us to be open to the type of other people. And open to the influences of other people. And the proof that you have accepted advice is the show or manifestation of that advice in your behavior. If you get good advice and still behave the same way, then you didn't accept that good advice. Allah has given us good advice. If we accept the good advice from Allah, it should show in our behavior. If it doesn't show in our behavior, it hasn't reached us yet. We have rejected it. We say, yes, yes, yes. All praises to Allah. Alhamdulillah. But as the old saying goes, it's like water on the duck back. to just come out in the rain to jump into the pond, but not to get wet. He got something personal on his mind. A selfish thing on his mind. He came out for fish or something, or some headache or something. He didn't come out to wet. He had a protection against water. Never want water up there. I don't know how many of y'all remember that old lesson. The 13 ducks that drank from the same man's face. How long does it take them to dry up? So pretty bad luck, you know. Some of you probably remember that old lesson. Come to think of it, they were the 13th, too. Friday the 13th. But you should remember it's Good Friday, too. The figure it adds, and you can take something out of it, but you can't take something out of it. Where did it go? Yes, we used to have one thing that took the nigger out of the country, but you can't take the country out of the nigger. It all stems from the same kind of thought, a prisoner, you know? And you can take the savage out of Africa, but merely taking him out won't take the savage out of Africa. And we describe how much savagery we've inherited. Yes, when I'm talking about savagery, I'm talking about primitive fears, primitive superstitions. This is a thing that keeps our people back, hold our people down. So many primitive superstitions in us, primitive fears. Some of us just can't have a good cook by today because it's the 13th, Friday the 13th. Somebody's supposed to have a heart attack today, you know. They ain't supposed to have no good cook by today, it's Friday the 13th. When you understand the Western society, Christian society, ain't it 13 unlucky? That's Jesus Christ's number. Yes, brother knows, yes, he knows it. That's Jesus Christ's number. Jesus Christ and his 12 disciples, 13, making up one body. Yes, that's unlucky for Western society. The same society that preached Jesus, see Jesus and his disciples as being an unlucky number for him. Isn't that something? Good Friday. How come good? How come it's Good Friday? Why couldn't it have been Good Sunday? I thought Sunday was the best day in the West. How come it's not Good Sunday? It should be Good Sunday and Black Friday. Yeah. First in the West, black is bad time. Black means bad luck. Bad time. They say Jesus was crucified on Friday. Well, right? And he rose up on Sunday. So it should be good Sunday and bad Friday. Yeah, we should weep on Friday. And we should be happy on Sunday. But no, it's Good Friday. And just Sunday, that's all. Ain't nothing special about Sunday. Except do your own thing. Yeah. Good Friday. It is a Good Friday. That's why they call it Good Friday. They lie, but they have a way of secretly telling the truth. And only those who are in the knowledge, secret knowledge, understand. It is Good Friday. And Friday the 13th, that's double Good Friday. Today is Friday the 13th. Good Friday and then the 13th, too? Man, this is a great Friday. Yeah? 12 tribes of Israel. And then the 13th one, the leader. Because the tithe that wouldn't lead themselves. They were given a leader. You see? So they self-pride means a leader. Thirteen, in their language, stands for the number leader, symbolically meaning leader. You see? So it's bad luck for them when leader comes. Got no leaders, it's good luck. But if the people get a leader, bad luck. Oh, it's bad luck now. Luck depends on circumstances. Okay? So those who depend upon circumstances, when the leader comes with direction from God, then bad luck. Because God is the God of circumstances. They can gamble pretty baby, but when the real thing comes along, the gambling stops. Direction from God, when it comes, it put out the train, put out the foolishness. Oh, yes. They don't want any foolishness in society. Not like that is given by God. Divine truth. Revelation of God. Confusion. Confusion. It's not gambling. It has its own set path, own established plan. It's not gambling. And the people who commit themselves to that, they are also fixed. They can't change. This world is threatened to dedicated, devoted, committed people. Take a stand on God's word. It's threatened. They like to change it. They want to be able to bargain with you. Can't bargain with the man. That's a pressure on society. That's good. But when that one comes that God has with, that's bad luck. So they can't kill it. They can't kill it. They tell us they killed Jesus. But Allah tells us in the Quran, they can kill him, neither did the king of my head. They say they killed him. But Allah tells us, no, they did not kill him. And they did not crucify him. So when that one comes back that they can't kill, they're in bad trouble. Dear beloved brothers and sisters, Jesus was a prophet, as you know. But Jesus also is a sign of something else. Jesus is a sign of a true human being that God created. Jerusalem didn't create him. New York didn't create him. Allah created him. So whenever that human being comes back in society, in the trueness that God created him, the wicked society is in trouble. God will protect that person. But that's God's man. I don't mean his prophet. I mean his creation. That's God's creation. God will protect his own creation. God never let us lose our creation. We, because of our weakness to things that are not God, we give ourselves to those things and go away from the solution that God put us in. It is not God. Once we come back to that, God will protect that. Don't worry about it. That's the truth of Allah. And He will protect what He has created. There are some simple truths that if we knew them, we would rise steadfast in society, in the life of society. If we don't know these things, we're like wind-blown things in society. We're tossed about here and there. You ever see a little sparrow trying to balance a rough wind? When the wind gets rough, too rough, most of the little birds, they get somewhere and they stay away until the wind quiets down. And even the big birds, when it gets pretty rough out there. You don't even see him flying no more. They're going to say it's not right.